is entrusting everything to us, his property. Now, if we entrust things to our friends or to our family, how does that usually make us feel? If somebody entrusts something to you, we feel honored. We feel humble. We feel kind of excited. But also, usually, we feel a responsibility to protect it and to use it. And then the property that God is entrusting to us is not for us to use it for selfish gain, but it's for the common good. And the property is all gifts that he has given us. And then to use those gifts for him, for the good of God's creation. So God's entrusting his creation in all that he has to us. What an honor. But there is a little catch, and it's that responsibility catch. So I'm going to stick with the gospel for a minute. So he gives one slave 5 talents, and one 2 talents, and one talent. And then he went away. So what does that tell us? If God goes away, if God entrusts something to us and he goes away, what does that mean? That means it's up to us how we use it. God's not going to force us to use it in a certain way. There is not a rush, because later on in the gospel says, after a long time, God never rushes. God never forces. He's always giving and always waiting for us, you know, to respond. So the master, he goes away. So what happens? In the gospel, we know that the one slave that gets 5 talents, he goes off. What does it say? He went off at once. So what does that say? If you go off at once, that means it's important. So that slave took those 5 talents, took that property of the master, and went off and did something about it. What does it say? He went off in the same way. So it was important enough to go right away and to do something with the talents, with the gifts. Then we have the third one. But the one who had received the 1 talent went off, didn't say right away, he went off. So whenever that person decided to go, he went off, dug a hole, and hid his master's money. He hid it. What does that mean? If someone gives you a gift, what if somebody gives you a Christmas gift? Do you put it in the ground and do nothing with it? No. What kind of an insult or a hurt would that be? If somebody gives you a gift, what are we supposed to do? We're supposed to what? Start with you. Use it. We're supposed to use it. We're to with all of God's giving gifts to us. We're supposed to use it, or as we find out later on, we lose it. So it's the same thing with today. If we have a talent, let's say we know how to play the organ, or we know how to play the guitar, or we know how to do artwork, or we know how to sing, or we know, like, somebody else, maybe something that we could have, a talent for doing. What? What? Use it, but what? Well, like, anything that we have a talent for, we're supposed to use it. And if we don't exercise that talent, if we don't try at it, it's not going to evolve into anything for ourselves or for anyone else. Let's say Tom never practiced playing the organ and came in, didn't even bother to look at what the songs were. What would happen? It goes away. So then what happens? Well, the master comes back, because when God gives us all that he has given us, there will be an account. We are accountable to God personally when we meet him face to face with what we do or with what we don't do. So what happens? The first lady comes up and says, well, I've gotten five more, so I can multiply. I used your gift. I didn't dig a hole and hide it. I used it. And so the master says, well done, a good and trusty slave. And the same with the second slave. He said, I've multiplied it too, by two. So right there, that tells us that God isn't necessarily looking for quantity. He knows that each one of us, it has abilities and capabilities. And we all we're supposed to do is try our hardest to risk trying our hardest for him. And he's not overly demanding, but expects us to be fruitful in whatever way we are capable of being fruitful. But then, the one that had one talent, who dug it, he came back and he told his master, he said, well, I was so afraid I hid it in the ground. So here you go. Here's your gift back. I didn't want to have anything to do with it. I didn't want to use it. It's yours because I was afraid. Well, the master says, you wicked and lazy slave. You knew, did you, that I reap where I did not sow and gather where I do not scatter. The master was saying, well, if you really knew that, then you ought to have invested it. At the very least, put it in the bank. Make it grow a little. You must have it. If you really knew I was that mean and threatening, you should have invested it. So for us, we can ask ourselves today, what do we invest in? Do we invest in our Lord? Do we invest in our relationship with Jesus Christ? Or do we invest in ourselves, in what we want, when we want, whenever we want? Do we invest in God because we love God and we love each other? Those are some of the questions that we can ask ourselves today. Do we invest in Jesus first? Is he the center of our lives and our goal? Well, the Bible tells us, and we pray today together. Blessed Lord, who caused all Holy Scriptures to be written for our learning, grant us so to hear them, read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest. When we do all of that, Jesus becomes an inextricable part of us. Jesus makes us who we are. We're always to take a risk and to try hard to focus and to live our life full, centered on the Lord. We're never to take Jesus for granted. We are never to take his salvation for granted. He doesn't take us for granted, and we shouldn't take him for granted. Jesus truly makes us who we are. All of us are valuable to him. So if we use our gifts together, sometimes make mistakes, sometimes not do as best as other times, or as best as someone else might, but God isn't demanding on that. He's demanding on our response and our love for him and for one another.